We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome, everybody. Let's bring up all the lights quickly. There we go. There they are. Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Welcome to Redemption Church. I'm Chris Fluitt, and I welcome everybody. Hello to all our online viewers. I hope to see you one day in Plano, Texas. Come join us 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. Worship with us. We're in the second week of our sermon series called what?
Killers.
Killers. Jesus told us about a thief who's only come to do 3 things. What? Steal and kill and destroy. The thief is anyone who does not enter through the
gate,
right? Who told us that? Jesus, right? In the first verse of that chapter, chapter 10. Jesus says that he is the
gate.
Very good. The thief kills, but Jesus gives life, and he gives life to the
full.
Amen. There is a killer present somewhere in your world. Remember, a killer is any person or thing that takes life. Somewhere in your life, there is something trying to take life from you. We need to find the killer. Today, I want you to consider this truth. Killers are seriously deadly, but not seriously wise. Killers are seriously deadly, but not seriously wise. We're used to really smart movie killers like Hannibal Lecter. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Hannibal Lecter was an evil genius cannibal from the movie Silence of the Lambs, right? All right, you can admit that you've seen that movie. It's okay, folks. It's all right. I would tell you that even evil genius killers with large intelligence end up becoming fools when they play the role of killers. Ultimately, it is a foolish thing to be a killer. Killers are seriously deadly, but not seriously wise, which brings us to today's pertinent subject. Look at somebody and say, killer clowns, killer clowns. Now, I want you to know that we take sermon prep very seriously around here. I mean, so seriously, Leroy, that I told our care pastor, Marshall Blessing, I said, you know what, I'm preaching, just have a fire in my heart to preach about killer clowns this upcoming Sunday, this next Sunday. And he asked me if I'd ever watched the 1988 classic, if you can call that a classic, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Raise your hand if you've ever seen that movie at all. Have you ever seen that movie? Y'all are awesome people. None of y'all have ever seen that movie. All right. So I told Marshall that no, I'd only seen bits and pieces. I've never seen the whole thing. So we gathered on Tuesday night this last week to watch that movie. I mean, to do some sermon prep. All right. So we watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space. All right. What can you say about this movie? Just looking at that trailer, that looked like a special kind of dumpster fire right there, didn't it? That looked really kind of special, right? It's definitely a B movie. But I want to tell you real quick that the title says it all. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That's the whole plot. That's everything. The title is the perfect description to that ridiculous plot. Not only do you have something coming from outer space, it's killer clowns. Not only is it killer clowns, it's killer clowns from outer space. I mean, it works together. One night, here's the synopsis right here. One night, a group of killer clowns terrorize a small town. They end up killing people in the dumbest, clownish ways. They shoot them with popcorn guns. They entomb the bodies in cotton candy cocoons and even put on killer puppet shows. They do all of this. Then, of course, it turns out that they have a spaceship because, after all, they're killer clowns from outer space, right? I don't want to say anymore because, you know, spoilers. This movie came out 30 years ago. I think you are still waiting to see it, so I don't want to give too much away. All right, being killed is a tragedy. Do you agree with that? Just change gears. I mean, like, bring it down. Like, it's having too much fun. Being killed is a tragedy, but being killed by a stupid clown—that's just a stupid tragedy. That's just dumb. How did that happen? In summer 2016, there was a cultural phenomenon when killer clowns started appearing across the U.S. Do you remember this? Yes. There was a panic. It was an absolute panic. It was like all over the internet. People were like, oh my gosh, if I saw a killer clown, I don't know what I'd do. These killer clowns dressing up in clown costumes with like weapons on them. It was scary looking. And of course, appearing in a dark alley, you know, they're in the forest clearing. People were out jogging one evening and there's a killer clown, and it is quite scary. It was scary. It was creepy, but it was also pretty dumb if you think about it. Pretty dumb. Thank goodness that stopped. I prayed very hard. The Lord answered. All right. Killer clowns present a unique challenge. Clowns are humorous. Clowns are funny. Clowns are foolish. Clowns are not to be taken seriously. Because of this, they are easily dismissed. Some problems in life are problems because you've dismissed them. They're really simple problems, but you put it off so long that, you know, you didn't get your oil changed on your car. On a scale of 1 to 10, that's a 1. That is so easy to do. But you just drive around a little bit without an oil change, and suddenly it becomes, on the Richter scale of problems, a 10. Can I get an amen? But if you dismiss that little red light, it becomes this huge problem. Clowns are a little bit like this, easily dismissed. Yet, we're not just dealing with clowns. We're dealing with killer clowns. We are often dismissive of the foolish, but maybe we should take it more seriously. I want to tell you that foolishness kills. Look at somebody, say, foolishness kills. Has a foolish decision ever stolen life from you? I think all over this room, we would say, yeah, I wasted way too much time on that foolish relationship. I wasted so much money foolishly doing things that I made bad decisions and habits in my life that were foolish, that stole life from me, could actually steal health from you, can steal all these kind of things from you. Absolutely. Foolish decisions have destroyed marriage. The decision to just stress yourself out, stress yourself to death over a problem rather than spending a little time to actually fix the problem, right? How about this one? The foolish pleasure of addiction has killed many people. The foolish lack of control has led many to self-sabotage. The foolish act of professing God yet not trusting God. It's foolish. Foolishness kills. So what is foolishness? We need to understand what foolishness. Scripture is very serious about the subject of foolishness. When Scripture talks about foolishness, it's not, can I tell you what it's not talking about? It's not talking about fun. Let me just relax you a little bit. When it talks about foolishness, it's not saying, don't ever have any fun. That's not what it's saying. Don't ever have any joy. Nope. Don't ever have any laughter. Nope. Don't have any humor. Wrong. That's not what foolishness is. You can laugh. You can have joy, you can have laughter, you can have humor. All of these things are present in the Bible and actually celebrated. Foolishness is none of those things. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
You got me. Good. That's an important point. Some people come to church and they hear a sermon on foolishness and they're like, all right, I will not tell any more jokes ever again. Right? Come on. Tell all the Aggie jokes you want. Isn't that right, Jeff? I'm right. Hook them. They beat my Bears the other day. All right. Scriptural foolishness is summed up in one word. Here's the word, misuse. Say misuse.
Misuse.
Foolishness is misusing the things you have been given by God.
All right.
How many know God has given us some things? How do you know? How many know God has given us good things? How many know God has given us all good things?
Yeah.
Right? You take these good things, you misuse them. It is foolishness, that's what it is. For example, misusing your intelligence. Who gave us intelligence? God. Misusing your intelligence to make unwise choices is foolish. God has given you reasoning skills, yet we misuse that gifting to make wrong decisions. Given you the ability to reason through things, but instead you make wrong decisions. You are misusing. You are being foolish. When God gives you something to bless your life, but you misuse that gift to ultimately curse your life. That's foolishness. Does that make sense? Something like this. God gave us sex as a blessed gift, right? Yet we have misused it foolishly in lust outside of marriage, and it has messed up lives. You bet it has. God has blessed us with money and the ability to create wealth, the Bible says. Yet we foolishly fall into materialistic greed rather than wisely serve God and others with our wealth. God has blessed us with minds of limitless capability, yet we foolishly sit like zombies on the couch watching Netflix because we are satisfied with entertaining our minds with another reality rather than creating our own reality. Misuse is
foolish.
Absolutely. Everything you have is a gift from God. Every gift you misuse is foolishness. I want to tell you this. Foolishness is a sin, and sin is foolishness. Can you say that with me? Foolishness is sin, and sin is foolishness. Do not chuckle at the killer clown. I know he's a clown. No, he looks ridiculous. But his foolishness is darker than you think. Proverbs 24 and 9 says this. The thought of foolishness is, what is that word there?
Sin.
All right, so the thought of foolishness is sin. Not even the action. Go back from the action. The very thought of the action is
sin.
Foolish thoughts are sinful. If foolish thoughts are sinful, how much more foolish actions and deeds, right? Sin is like a stupid big clown that kills you in the most ridiculous way. Kills you. Kills you in such a stupid way that people go, how did they not see that coming? You have people in your life you have said those things about. How could they not see this freight train coming into their world? How could they not get out of the way of this calamity? It's this big, stupid clown that people don't take seriously. They dismiss, and the next thing you know, they're dead. Because it's not just a clown, it's a killer clown. The foolishness of sin will cause you to laugh and let your defenses down, and it is a crafty design of the enemy. I like this quote from Pastor John Piper. He says this, sin opposes God. Folly opposes yourself. Since opposing God is suicide, all sin is foolish. Think about this. Keep this on the screen for a little bit. Sin opposes God. Check, right? That makes sense, right? Anytime you sin, you are opposing the word of God. You're opposing the command of God. Sin is opposing God. But folly, that is foolishness, is actually opposing yourself. Does that make sense? Our foolish things, our misuse of our resources around us, that is actually only opposing yourself, self-sabotaging yourself. And since opposing God is suicide, that was sin, right? All sin is foolish. To oppose God is to ultimately oppose yourself. Sin opposes God. If you oppose God, you're ultimately opposing yourself. What is opposing yourself? Foolishness. Did you follow that? You got that. You really want to wreck your life? Oppose God. Because by opposing God, you're opposing yourself. That one decision is the most foolish decision of all. It is foolishly misusing the relationship with God. Do you realize God has given you a relationship with Him? And you go, I could be the friend of God, but instead, I'll be the enemy of God. I'll be the thorn in God's side. I'll be the rebellious son. I'll be all of those things. You're opposing God, but when you oppose God, you're only opposing yourself. You ought to be a friend of God. You ought to be standing with God, not be an opposer of God. It is sin, and it is foolish. Jeremiah 4:22 says this, my people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. What a scripture, right? Look at this. A fool doesn't know God. My people are fools. They don't know me. A fool doesn't know God. God created everything, right? He gives this gift. He created everything. Why? Because he wants you to know him. There's the gift. Misuse it. I don't know him. Fool. What else? A fool has no understanding. They're senseless children. What? James 1:5 says that God freely gives understanding to everyone who asks. He gives it liberally to all who ask. You're without excuse. It is so foolish to misuse the opportunity to ask God for understanding. He gives it freely. That is senseless. It is foolish. A fool is skilled in the wrong thing. God has made known to us what is good and perfect through what? He's made known to us what's good and perfect through Scripture, and also I'll receive the person of Jesus Christ. So when we open up the Bible, we see what is good, what is perfect, what's the will of God. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we see it in human form, personified right in front of us, what is good and what is perfect. So it is silly to be skilled in doing evil and not know how to do good. He has put the perfect example right in front of us. You are foolish to follow those who don't know God. To those who lack understanding. To those who are skilled in evil. We're living in a day and age where people are skilled in evil and they aren't even embarrassed about it. Not even a little bit. It is absurd the level that we're just falling in life. The other day, earlier this year, I'm in a sauna after working out. Everybody's closed. It's not one of those weird saunas. It's not one of those weird stories, but it gets weird. All these dudes are sitting in the sauna. Everybody's minding their own business. Some guy has a phone over there, and suddenly there's an old man that's sitting behind the guy that's watching his phone, and he says, "He's looking at porn." Says that in this small little, he yells it in this small little space, and everybody's like, "What?" It was this weird moment, and everybody was like embarrassed for this guy, except that guy. He went right ahead looking at his pornography right in front of everybody in the sauna. You know what that is? That is evil. That is not even being embarrassed about your sickness. You talk about a problem. You can't even put it away when you're in a sauna with other dudes. Dude has problems. Skilled in evil. People are skilled in evil, and it's foolish. It is foolish to be skilled in evil. It is wise to be skilled in the nature of Jesus, to be skilled in love, to be skilled in kindness, to be skilled in forgiveness. We need a church in Plano that's skilled in forgiveness, that's skilled in mercy, that's skilled in grace, skilled in charity. Skilled in works of service. My God, we've got a nation, a world that is skilled in evil. What does the Bible say that is? That is foolishness. Jesus reveals a foolish situation in Matthew 15:14. He is speaking of the Pharisees. The Pharisees consider themselves wise religious leaders. Am I right? Yeah. Yet Jesus consistently points out that they foolishly misuse everything that they are given. Matthew 15:14. He says this, "Leave them. They are blind guides." He's calling the Pharisees blind guides. And then watch this next sentence. "If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Fools gladly follow fools. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a ditch. The answer is very clear. Stop being blind yourself. And then second, stop being led by blind people. right? Stop being foolish. Stop being led by fools. This foolishness is sin. This foolishness is misuse. This foolishness is a killer. I want to tell you about the biggest fool I know. He could be in the room right now. Don't worry, I'm not going to call any of your names. I'm talking about Satan. Satan is a fool. Somebody say it. Satan. Say it with some conviction. Satan is a fool. That guy's a fool. Now, I don't mean to make light of our adversary, the devil. Satan is intelligent. Satan is crafty. Satan can quote more scripture than any of us. He is a master communicator. He's clothed with all the beauty one would expect from an archangel, absolutely. Yet he has misused everything he has ever been given. That is the textbook, scriptural definition of a fool. Congratulations, idiot Satan. Satan is a fool. He is a killer clown. Redemption Church, do you want to be led by a fool like Satan? Do you want to be blindly led by a blind dummy like Satan? What a fool. It is time to walk away. I invite you, over these next few things I'm going to say, I invite you to just declare, what a fool, and purpose in your heart to walk away. Practice. Say, what a fool. All right. Let me give you Satan's foolish resume. Satan rebelled against an all-powerful God. What a fool. Satan thought he would put a sneak attack on an all-knowing God. What a fool. Satan betrayed a creator who created him. What a fool. Satan thought if he gathered a big enough army, he could overtake the Lord of glory. What a fool. Satan thought he could sit on God's throne. What a fool. Satan never created anything. What a fool. Never provided anything. What a fool. Never gave life to anything. What a fool. Satan wants to be like the Most High. What a fool. He is nothing like the Most High. What a fool. Clap your hands to the wise God. The only wise God, the Bible says. The Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Satan is a fool. Satan is a fool. Amen. My goodness, I wish somebody just get that in their heart, because the devil has been laying trap for you over and over again. And wouldn't it be great to come to a place in your life where you walk up to a snare of the enemy, and instead of falling in it like you used to, call him out by his name. You are a fool, Satan, and you walk right on by worshiping the Lord. I want to do that. I want to be that way. I want children that are raised to be like that. I want you to have that kind of victory in your life. Somebody say hallelujah. Get that in your heart. No more. Oh, my. Get how foolish this guy is. His highest idea is God. You get this? Isaiah 14 and 14. Look at this. This is what Satan says of himself. This is his mission statement, if you will. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. By the way, Jesus is the one prophesied to be coming, riding on the clouds, and he is the Most High. He is the Almighty. And this Satan fancies himself, puts out his goal and his mission statement to be like this rider of the clouds, this Most High God. His highest idea and purpose is God. Think about that for one moment. His highest idea is God, yet he rebels against what a dummy. His highest idea is God, but he rebels against God. You get that? That's a fool. You talk about misusing yourself. You talk about folly, and folly is what? Opposing yourself, right? What a dummy. He rebels against God in order to become God? Like, that makes any sense? Has that worked for anybody?
No.
No, not at all. Never has. The highest idea among all creation is God. Can we get there? Let's talk about it a little bit. You see, his highest idea is God, but the truth is every person, all of creation, the animal kingdom, all of nature, the highest idea, if it has any idea at all within it, the highest idea is God. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Yet, if you reject this high idea, then you, like Satan, end up making yourself the God of your own universe. So you just stand around and say, I reject the idea of God. I just throw down that highest idea. Well, you just threw down that highest idea and exalted yourself to that same place. You just exalted yourself to that same idea. I'm God. I make my own decisions. The only problem with that is that you are not the God of the universe.
Amen.
So you better not stand in the place of the God of the universe. Yeah, Satan's like, I'm going to stand in the place of the God of the universe. Again, did he ever create anything?
No.
Did he ever give life to anything?
No.
Has he done anything? Really, except just lie? Great job, dude. He cannot stand in the place of the God of the universe, and neither can I. So I need the highest idea to be in its place. I need God to be in the place of my highest idea. I need to take Jesus and place him as my highest idea in life. You with me? We misuse our reasoning skills to come to the wrong conclusions. And Satan did just that. This is foolishness. We end up opposing ourselves when we end up opposing the highest idea, which is God. Can I tell you, Satan is a killer clown. Go ahead and say that out loud. Satan is a killer clown. In the great, timeless, classic Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the same scenario keeps occurring over and over again. Sorry, spoilers. The gigantic, obviously non-human, creepy, gross killer clowns try to lure unsuspecting people into their ridiculous deaths. Right? You see this picture on the screen. Does that look like anything you want to be near?
No.
Right? Does that look creepy, gross, gigantic, deformed, all of these things, right? It's all of these things. In one scene, this scene on your screen, a killer clown goes to a window and tries to get the attention of someone who is a little girl and gives them a come hither motion. Everybody do the come hither motion with your finger. We all know what the come hither motion. You know, if somebody does that, you know exactly what they mean. Come here. So this creepy, gross-looking clown does this thing. Just, hey, come here, over here, come here. Does it, right? He keeps luring people like this little girl and others outside. And all the while, the killer clown is hiding something behind his back. I don't know if you can see it in that picture, but he's got a colorful mallet hidden behind his back. Obviously, we understand what his plan is. Come here. Come here, and when they come close enough, he takes the mallet, he kills them with the mallet. No, the little girl doesn't die. Don't worry, I don't want you to think such terrible things. But this is how Satan operates, isn't it? He is a big, doofus, gross-looking thing. When you really get down to the things he's got for your life and the designs he's got for your life, they are gross. Sometimes they've got a nice sheen on them, but when you take a second look, when you really look at them in the proper lighting, they are gross things.
Yep.
And he comes over there and is like, hey, over here, come here. I want to tell you, if you follow a killer clown like the one on your screen right there, you are a fool. You run when you see something like that, right?
Right.
If you follow Satan, you are equally a fool. Do not do it. He appeared, Satan did, as a snake in the Garden of Eden. Do you remember that? But he might as well have been a big, stupid-looking clown with a mallet behind his back. That's really what he was. He come hither, Eve, with a lie. From his victory in the garden, all mankind was under the curse of Sin, absolutely. All mankind was under the curse of sin. Satan made a fool of all mankind, didn't he? In the garden, he did. But Jesus made a fool of Satan. Jesus made a fool of Satan. Every person was under the control of Satan. Every person would die as a result. But then Jesus shows up. Now, I want you to understand this. Adam dead, Eve dead, Cain dead, Abel dead, Seth dead. Go down the entire lineage. Every person on earth died. Every person on earth died. Baby born, baby grows up, baby dies, baby's buried. That is every baby ever born until this man named Jesus Christ shows up. Jesus has an authority the world had never seen except way back in the garden when Adam and Eve had dominion over the world. See, when Jesus showed up, they talked about his authority, and he had an authority that the Pharisees didn't have. He had authority to walk on water. He said, all authority is given to me. He had an authority. I believe that Adam and Eve had that same kind of authority, but in our fallen state, we lost that authority. But a Jesus showed up with an authority that Satan hadn't seen for a long, long time since he fooled Adam and Eve in the garden. You see that idea? You got that? Hold on to that a little bit. Jesus shows up and demons start getting cast out of people. Demoniacs with a legion full of demons. The legion of demons lose control of the man, and the man starts running to Jesus, worshiping him. And all the demons get thrown into pigs, right? Jesus starts bringing people back from the dead. Alarms went off in hell. Do you understand this? Baby born, baby grows up, baby dies, baby's resurrected. That's our Jesus. He shows up on the scene, and I want you to know he had the attention of all of hell. He had the attention of every demon, and he had the attention of Satan, because he's doing something that he's not supposed to be able to do. He has an authority that had been stamped out, had been removed, had been misused and lost. But now it's on the scene in the face of Jesus Christ. All right, man, what's worse than raising someone back from the dead? Here it is. Jesus started forgiving people of their sins. All of hell just started quaking in their boots. Wait a second. You think that hell is all about your death? No, hell is all about your sin. Hell is all about your sin. And if you lose your sin, hell loses you. Oh my gosh. Satan's upset about things, but when he looks at the lame man that's lowered through the roof, and the first thing Jesus says to him is, your sins are forgiven. Oh my goodness, demons lost it. That's our Jesus. I want to tell you, every time he forgives somebody of their sins, we know that all of heaven goes crazy with the party. I want you to know, oh, it's like Dallas after the day that the Cowboys lose, which is every Monday around here. It is, all of hell just loses it whenever you ask Jesus. Y'all want you to get that picture? Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Your sins are gone. All of heaven throws a crazy party. All of hell just is in tears. We lost another one, boss. Boss, we lost another one. Isn't Jesus good? Isn't it so good that he forgives us of our sins? Amen. Forgives people of their sins and brings them back into a relationship with God. Oh, he thought he had ruined that once and for all. But newsflash, Satan, you are a fool. Satan knew something must be done about this Jesus, didn't he? So what does he do? Satan confronts Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. A face-to-face confrontation. Jesus and Satan. And he confronts him this way. He confronts him with three ifs. Everybody say three ifs. If number one, he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down and have the angels protect you. That's number three. And number three is, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. He confronts Jesus. He attacks Jesus with what? Three ifs. Just like in the garden, he a little different language. He says, did God really say? It's the same thought, isn't it? You know, I guess that's true. If God really said that, that's his. If he attacks you today, he's going to attack you with an if. He's going to attack your very relationship with God, the very nature of God. Maybe God's a liar. Maybe God said he loved you but doesn't really love you. Did he really forgive you of your sins? These are the kind of things he's going to attack you with. There is a killer clown, and he is on the attack. If is like that come hither motion of the clown. Maybe if you tried this. You know what? If you lied to your parents and went out to that party, you'd have a great time. Oh yeah, some of y'all heard that one growing up. Straight from the enemy. You know what? If you just tried, to do some drugs, you'd probably feel really good and make some friends. Right? It's a good idea. Just this come hither motion of this stupid, hideous, killer clown. All the while, he has got what behind his back? A mallet. Make no mistake, he is a funny looking clown, but he is a killer. One of the most disturbing things about clowns is that they paint on a smile, but they aren't necessarily smiling. They are a deception. He is a killer. Had Jesus failed here at this moment in Matthew chapter 4, what would be lost? Everything. We would have once again lost the dominion and the authority that man hadn't had since the Garden of Eden. Everything would have been lost if he would have fallen for one of these three ifs. Do you get that about our Jesus? His trick worked on all of humanity. He had walloped all of humanity with that mallet. But Jesus counters three ifs with what? Three it is written. Three times he declares to him, it is written. And the next thing you know, Satan is forced to leave the very presence of Jesus. I would tell you that only a fool follows a fool. The foolishness of sin opposes your own self. But to honor God is wise. It is righteous. It is joyful. To honor God is to actually support yourself. Some of you have dreams in your life. You have aspirations. That's awesome. I've got a great way for you to receive those things. Work hard and honor God in the work. Honor God in the work. And that's a way to support your own efforts. I want us to look at the end result of this fool, Satan. Isaiah 14, we looked a little bit at this verse. Let's go back a few verses. Verse 12, Isaiah 14 and 12. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star. It's talking about Satan. Son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations. Verse 13. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount assembly on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. Verse 14. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. 15. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. Verse 16. Those who see you stare at you and they ponder your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? In the end, this one who thought he was going to ascend to the Most High place is brought down to the lowest of all places, to a pit. And everybody that sees him is going to say, who's this? Is this the guy? You mean this is the guy that ruined everything? I was expecting someone way stronger than this, way cooler looking than this. This guy's a fool. Every eye's going to see him. Every eye's going to see him. Amen. And see him in his defeat. That's Isaiah 14. This has not yet happened. This next verse also is before us. It's Revelations 20 and 1. John gets to see it happen in this vision. Look at this. And I saw an angel. Everybody said an angel.
An angel.
I love to point out this. That's just an angel, y'all. We don't know what kind of angel it is. Don't know this angel's name. It could be his first day on the job. We have no clue. I'm just kidding about first day on the job. I'm just saying this is no archangel. This is just an angel dude. Let's call him Angel Dude. Everybody say Angel Dude. Here's Angel Dude coming out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. I want you to notice the chain is described as great, verses 2. What's at the end of the chain does not have the description of great. Look at the end of the chain. Verse 2, he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Verse 3, he threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore. How many angels did this?
One.
Yeah, but it was a really big angel, right? Doesn't say. No, it was a really important angel, right? No, it was probably a general angel, right? No. Had no ranking at all. One angel with a chain is going to take this fool, Satan, who fancied himself to be the Most High. He is going to take that serpent. He's going to take that dragon. He is going to take that devil, Satan. And he's going to bind him for 1,000 years. He's going to be thrown into the pit. And where are you? You know what happens after this? You're with Jesus. That's what happens with this. You're with the Most High. Oh, but not only that. It says that you are seated with the Most High. The Most High seated where? On a throne, y'all. The Most High seated where? You're seated with the Most High. Do you get it? Do you get it? Satan wanted to be the Most High. He ends up in the abyss. He ends up in the pit. He tried to take you there, but you aren't there because of Jesus.
Amen.
You are on the throne with him. Praise God. I want to tell you, the devil is such a liar and he is such a fool, and you've got such beautiful, wonderful things in front of you. I'm talking to people that if you're really honest, you have felt like the fool. You are loved by God. He does not view you that way. You're not the one on the end of his chain. You're the one on his throne. He loves you and he is willing to do everything that you need him to do today if you will just stop opposing him. If you will stop opposing your own self, he wants to have you seated with him in his throne. And he wants to take this enemy who has thwarted you. He wants to take him and lock him up. Do you want to stop opposing God? Do you want to stop opposing his plan? Do you want to stop rejecting his wisdom? Do you want to once and for all turn away from this stupid enemy, the devil?
Amen.
It would be so foolish to follow a fool like Satan. It would be so foolish to walk out of this moment. Right now, I declare to you, I just feel such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. I hope you feel that. If you feel it, you're accountable for this moment. And if you walk out of this moment without doing something in your heart and in your life, you are being foolish. It's time to stop opposing yourself in foolish ways and to turn to God. Redemption Church, what is it? What's a good biblical word for turning to God? It's repentance. In a moment, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar and repent. If I say repent and you don't know what that means you need to come to this altar today and come in the first 2 feet, and we'll pray with you. We'll explain it, what it means, and you can once and for all turn away from Satan and be seated with Christ. A killer is a person or thing that takes life. The good shepherd is the one who lays down his life and gives you a full life. What are you going to do today? Are you going to receive that good shepherd, or are you going to go with the thief? These altars are open. Can we do something in this place? Come on. Can we make a move towards God in this place? Father, I thank you for everybody coming right now. I just believe, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm just going to believe that I'm going to see a church down here at this altar hungry for God. I believe that I'm going to see people in this altar move because they know people that are making foolish decisions in their life, and they want to turn that situation over to Jesus. I'm opening my eyes in a moment. I want to see you down here reaching out for God. I'm going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for every person in this house. I thank you for everybody watching and listening online, God. I don't know what they think about themselves, but Lord, I declare to them right now that they are loved by God. They are cherished by God. And the authority that Jesus walked in, he wants to give them that authority over the enemy right now. That authority, friend, it comes by the Holy Spirit. If you've never received the Holy Spirit, friend, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Right where you are, ask God, God, fill me with your Spirit. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, the Bible says that you are the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and the fire. Jesus, I give you permission. Baptize me in the Spirit. Baptize me in the fire. God, I am done opposing you. I am done turning away from you. I am done living a life of secret sin. That sin opposes you, and I'm done opposing you, Father. Father, I am done. I am done opposing myself through folly and foolishness. Right now, God, I reach out to you. I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for reaching out for me. Thank you for never giving up on me, Jesus. I love you, God. Lord, touch every person right now. Let them feel your presence. Lord, let them start to call on you and find you right in this moment. Come on, church. I want people to pray with. I want to see people turn the corner. I want to see people make a brand new step in their life. Let's do it today. In Jesus' name, come on, church. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.